still that he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Got some numbers, TV numbers that were just kind of released or put into a nice little bow for what we talked about yesterday with the conference realignment, and then also reports of an offer made by ESPN to the Pac-12. As far as a rights deal. I think you'll see that those two things go hand in hand. The lack of money being offered because of the lack of viewers, at least in championship week. We'll talk about that. OU's hot on the recruiting trail. College football schedules. ESPN has an article about toughest and, I mean, just all kinds of different things with scheduling for college football we can get into. Did you see what the anonymous defensive coordinator in the NFL said yesterday about Lamar Jackson?
No.
Thought that was interesting. Also, have you seen these contract details leaking out about Kyler Murray's deal?
I did see that.
No more Madden. More film study.
Mm.
Now, how does that make you feel if you were a proponent of paying Kyler Murray all the money that he got paid? Does that make you feel better, worse, don't care? Talk about that. And then whatever else kind of pops up or whatever else is on you guys' mind, 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. 9-8. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app's got it all. It's got three radio stations here in Elk City. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News will hit the website tonight at midnight at thepennynews.com. So your first look at all the new deals in the Penny News comes tonight at midnight online. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, we're working vigorously toward the start of that season with football coming up here in just a couple of weeks. Then we also got the Skinny on Sports podcast with iTunes, KADSAM.com, where you can find those. And once you do, if you find us on iTunes, subscribe, and then you'll be alerted when a new podcast drops. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. Got a sick kid at home. So that's on my mind right now, but she's fine. But so I'm just, you say working vigorously. That's what I'm doing right now before I have to go back home and tend to her.
Do we know what's wrong with her?
Nah, fever.
Do I need to put my mask on?
No, we're not doing this. No, she's had a tummy ache last night and a fever. Broke the fever. Then we think sometime last night it returned. She was just hot to the touch, so we're gonna get her to the doctor today. But so it's my turn. Mom had to go home with her yesterday, and I said, well, listen, give me till about mid-morning, then I can go back. So that's on my mind, but right now I'm focused on the latest sports topics. So where do you want to begin?
I think this Kyler Murray stuff is fascinating. When we talked about it last Friday when the news broke, I think it's a humongous risk to the point of, like, it's one of those things, I know you have to do it. If you're Arizona, you have no choice. You have to pay him. Because the odds of you finding someone better than Kyler Murray are pretty slim. We see that all the time. And so if you have a guy with the talent of Kyler Murray, then you have to pay him despite his warts. Okay? Which really kind of sucks if you're an NFL team. But, you know, that goes into all the things with the drafting and everything and going through and doing your due diligence for everything that's there. And I think this kind of makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Like, with the major concern, I know Jim brought it up yesterday with Cliff Kingsbury. Murray's been right there alongside him, too, though. In these, you know, he wasn't there at Tech when Kingsbury was flaming out down the stretch of the season. I think if you actually go back and look at those Texas Tech years, I think there was one major contributing factor into that, and it was the schedule.
Yep.
He started out with three cupcakes in the non-conference, where it was the way the schedule set up, had a couple of the easier games within the Big 12, and then all of a sudden,
boom,
you start playing Texas, OU, and OSU, and everybody else at the end of the year, and you're still Texas Tech in certain seasons. That's not a good thing. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
I think that can be kind of explained a little bit.
Which doesn't mean that necessarily Kingsbury is a bad coach. Just he was a product of that schedule.
It's Texas Tech against
it
Oklahoma
is still
and Texas.
Texas Tech.
That's
yes,
right. And
I've always said that. Yeah,
but, you know, there's been certain ebbs and flows, and some of the ebbs have been really, really high. 2008, that team was a really good team, but for the majority of it, if you think about it as the Big 12 South, what were they? The fourth best team at most.
Yeah.
Behind OU,
they'd
OSU,
have an upset
and Texas
win every once in a while.
Yeah,
and,
so, yeah. I mean, I think that's that kind of comes with the territory of where he was at. But in the NFL, he's been lock and step with Kyler Murray this entire time. And what has been the noticeable problem for Kyler Murray in his first 3 years in the league? He can't stay healthy the entire season. And it's no big surprise. That was the problem, and that was the worry going into the NFL. That was the problem with picking him number one overall, was the fact that, oh, by the way, he's 5'11", maybe, small stature. Can he handle the abuse that he's going to take? Because what's maybe the most electric thing about him, the best part of his game, is the fact that he can move around and he can just fly.
Right.
And so with all that wrapped up, just that part of it, I said on Friday, I wouldn't have done it. You have to, but you don't want to. How about that? I mean, because I don't know what else they could do. Your Arizona, maybe play this season out, because they didn't have to do it yet. But then you run the risk of imploding the entire thing because your quarterback will get mad and won't show up. You know, that it's just kind of – part of the game. It's part of what happens in the NFL with the quarterback position. It's so funny because every other position on the team, they'll just tell him to go jump in the creek. But it shows you how important the quarterback spot is. And then yesterday, after paying him $230 million, $105 guaranteed at signing, as soon as he signed that contract on Saturday, he got a $105 million. It comes out that one of the stipulations inside the contract is that Murray will have to study film 4 hours a week. Now,
okay,
let me ask you a couple questions here. Number one, would you assume that them forcing this in here meant he wasn't studying the way that they want him to?
That's the first assumption. But I paused because I wondered, did somebody get this, break it down, they found that clause, they made it a headline, where maybe this is something that's pretty standard in other contracts. I don't know. I don't know that.
I mean, don't think any other quarterback in the NFL has a line in their contract that reads, quit playing video games, you need to study film.
Sure. But
I don't think
so. I wonder if there's
so.
Other lines in other people's contracts that kind of addresses their vices. You know?
Oh, no, there no doubt. Ben, you know, after Ben Roethlisberger had that
motorcycle
or the motorcycle wreck.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. But those are – that's not – those things –
I'm trying not to defend it. I'm just questioning, you know, because we know what kind of world we live in. People take stuff and they blow it up and they make it a headline and then they over-exaggerate it and blah, blah, blah. That's why I'm asking, is this standard or is this something?
This is not standard. There's no way
anybody has a study clause, but anything specific for each quarterback. You know, like you mentioned the Ben thing. And
I think there is off the field. That's the unique part of this one, is it pertains to on the field things. Like not doing your job. You're too busy playing video games to do your job to the best of your ability, is how it sounds when you read it.
Yeah. Suddenly that commercial with him with that VR headset thing looked really bad.
No wonder he looked so comfortable there. So that's question one. Question two, who looks worse? Kyler Murray for apparently needing this to be inserted into his contract, or the Cardinals for actually doing it, risking what's happening, and sure enough, here we are with it getting out, because they both look ridiculous right now. So who looks worse?
I'm going to say Kyler, because the Cardinals are trying to be proactive with their quarterback and trying to get him on the straight and narrow, if you will. So I think it's a little embarrassing for Kyler to have this in your contract. You know, making this public like this. So I kind of applaud Arizona for saying, okay, this is what he's got to do. We're paying you this much. We can put this in your contract. Get off, put the sticks down, and start studying.
Yeah,
kind of cracking the whip.
It says right here at the end of this article, teams routinely put clauses in contracts that require players to attend off-season workouts, reach certain weight goals or other goals.
Yeah, we're not.
It's believed that a clause requiring a player to study more outside of team meetings is unusual, if not completely unprecedented.
Is it like going to study hall? Yeah, so sign in.
I think so. It's like he's in detention.
It's like, I'm here.
I mean, he looks ridiculous. Here's the thing, though. If you listen to Lincoln Riley when he was asked about his quarterbacks, he told you this without telling you. Because he would talk about with those guys in the quarterback room how they would operate. Baker wanted every single piece of information during film study he possibly could get his hands on. Kyler Murray sat there and was damn near asleep and just said, give me the ball. I'll figure it out. Hey, they already told you this was happening.
Yeah.
I think for having it put in there, I'm going to go with Kyler, because if you're that, I don't know if it's lazy or if you're just that confident in your abilities. Are you just, is your natural ability so ingrained in you that you've been able to get away without studying film this entire time? You know what I mean? Is that just one of those kind of savant things that's only going to get you to a certain level? But you're never going to fully unlock your full potential. But this just goes back to what I said on Friday. This is another way. Arizona actually had outs in this thing, as it turns out, if they wanted him. And instead they paid him. They paid him all. They're going to pay him $230 million, have him till 2028, and we'll see if it was the right move. But they had the injury, you know, not being able to stay healthy through the entire thing. They have him not studying. You know what I'm saying? If they wanted to find somebody else, they could have had it. They could have been able to do it. And so they clearly trust his talent. And I wonder if this doesn't embarrass him just a little bit, and we may see the best Kyler Murray we've ever seen. If it embarrasses him enough to go, okay, watch this. You guys think I'm some idiot. I'll get in there, I'll do the study, and then watch this.
I think that's the goal for Arizona, right?
Sure it is.
Call him out on it.
But how many kids did you go to school with that the more detention they went to, the worse they became?
Yeah. That's a great point, too. They got real vindictive in this world's against me attitude, and they shut down. And I could see that too.
Oh, here's a great text. Arizona's had great luck retreading the old guys in the past. That's true. Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer both kind of resurrected their careers in Arizona. Oh, he's predicting Carson Wentz will end his career as a Cardinal.
Where is he at?
The whatever they are now. Redskins.
Oh, Washington. Okay.
Commanders. He's a commander.
He's a commander. I didn't know that.
I just know this.
Where's Andy Dalton? He seems to be a traveler now.
Is Andy Dalton done?
I mean, talk about resurrecting old guys one final time.
I just know that it fits me, New Orleans.
Dalton's in New Orleans?
Yep. If it's me and I'm paying a franchise quarterback $230 million, I'm not overly excited about forcing him to go to study the film. I'm just not. I'm just not overly excited about that. But, I mean, we've seen the guy's talent, and it's been able to get him to here. You know, it's been able to get him a Heisman Trophy at OU and a $230 million contract in the pros. So it's not like he's void of that.
Yeah.
But it just makes you wonder, do you want that attitude permeating your locker room of, I'm so talented, I don't have to do the work?
That, no, I don't.
I don't either.
Because that is, that's an infection. That can spread. That can spread throughout that locker room. Like anything, any attitude can, whether it's a positive attitude or, in this case, a entitled attitude is what we're assuming.
That's what it seems, doesn't it, though? More than any other word, entitled, is it?
If that can spread throughout the locker room, others are going to go, if he doesn't have to do it, why should I? If he doesn't have to study the film, or if he doesn't have to put in the time to do whatever, study the playbook, why should I? Where's my VR headset commercial? So, no, I don't want that in my locker room. You want a leader, especially at QB1. I mean, this isn't like we're talking about...
It's not some diva wide receiver.
Yeah, we're talking about the engine that makes a franchise go. That engine doesn't work. The other parts don't work. So, no, I don't want that in my locker room. I want a guy studying film and being a leader.
Similar guy, Lamar Jackson, except for, you know, he's actually accomplished an MVP and some other things in his game. The Athletic's Mike Sando writes an article every year about tiers of NFL quarterbacks. He put Lamar in tier two, and then he's got quotes from anonymous people within the league and a defensive coordinator. His quote on Lamar Jackson is this: if he has to pass to win the game, they ain't winning the game. He's so unique as an athlete. He's a really good football player, but I don't care if he wins the league MVP. And he actually said something a little bit different than that, more forceful than I don't care. If he wins the league MVP 12 times, I don't think he'll ever be a one as a quarterback. He'll be one as a football player, but not as a quarterback.
Hmm.
You know, he's an interesting case because I don't necessarily disagree with the idea that he lacks some accuracy at times. Having said that, we talked about it going into the season, just the amount of injuries that Baltimore suffered last year. I mean, they were down. They had to get dudes off the street to come play running back. I mean, they were, you know, by the end of the season when Lamar was hurt, they had some guy named Tyler Huntley, and then he got hurt. You know, and going into December, who was the one seed in the AFC? It was the Ravens before they fell apart.
It was, you're right.
They fell apart down the stretch in large part due to him getting hurt, him being injured. Are those criticisms not valid? Because I think some of it is valid, but are they warranted?
We've talked about it before, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean,
his ability or lack thereof to throw—that's been his biggest knock, his biggest bugaboo is throwing the football.
Is that real or is that perceived?
Well, this is a professional coach we're talking about here who made these comments. That's his job, is to break down offenses and how do you defend them.
Sure.
So it's not like it's just off the cuff. This is something he has studied and you know, I'm sure he's prepared for multiple times. Does it say where he's from?
No. It's not going to say that.
Feels like division rival.
Doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like somebody that might have got their arse kicked by this guy a couple times?
Seen him enough. Seen him at least twice a year. And maybe maybe took a pounding a couple times from him.
And because they couldn't stop him running instead of just throwing or something
right,
like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a little merited, a little bit.
It seems like it. Like in my mind, when I think about, okay, what's Lamar's bugaboo or what's his downfall? It's always accuracy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we know he's fast as lightning, great athlete. And, you know, in the MVP season of 2019, it felt like he threw it down the field really well. But it, you know, his completion percentage is almost static for his career at right around 65%. Well, after the first year was 58, and then he's been right at that 65% number ever since. I mean, that doesn't feel horrible, but it also doesn't necessarily feel like, you know, the top tier of guys.
Right.
But is that enough? When you couple what the other things in you know, until last year, but are we going to have to start seeing him hurt all the time? Because if anybody runs it, you know, to the level that he does, you're talking about a dude that's carrying it 10 to 15 times a game. I mean, he's a little guy. I mean, at least you can make the argument Kyler Murray's kind of bowling ball-ish. Lamar doesn't seem that way. You know, he seems a little bit more fragile than some of these other guys. But, man, I don't know. He's an interesting guy, right? Because he is so electric.
Yeah.
And when he's on, there's almost nobody in the league you'd rather have because they become nearly unstoppable. Even with, like, a subpar receiving core he's had in his career. You know, Andrews is obviously one of the top 3, 4, 5 tight ends in the league. But he's, you know, Hollywood wasn't what people thought he was going to be. A deep threat, sure, but not a, you know what I mean? He hasn't played with anybody you'd go, man, that guy's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Or even a Pro Bowl, you know, on the outside. He's an interesting one. I mean, okay, who would you rather have, him or Kyler?
That's a great question. I think I lean Kyler because he's younger. And they're still.
They weren't in the same draft. They were one draft apart.
But you know, Lamar he's built bigger.
But 6'2", 212.
You got to throw it in this league. Kyler's shown he can throw it.
I can't wait
I'd love to see those side by side.
I'm pulling them up right now. I can't wait to see what his completion percentage is.
Kind of pull back on that one. Something tells me I'd rather have Kyler. It just feels like
career 66.9. Lamar was like 64.6. As far as completion percentage, one's won an MVP. One's never been close. Well, one's been the first half MVP the last 2 years.
Did the thing about Lamar Jackson is to me he's kind of having the same trajectory as Cam Newton, career trajectory. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's a big year for him to prove that he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
And kind of get back to what we saw in 2019 versus what, you know, but even last year, like I said, I mean, it's still about winning games. No matter what, it's still about winning games and getting your team into the playoffs. And until he got hurt on a team that was decimated by injuries and then got worse once he got hurt, they had the best record in the AFC.
Yeah.
It's not as big a year for Kyler anymore because he got paid.
That's true.
But for Lamar, and I wonder, you realize he's like negotiating his own contract? That can't be good. Can it?
Don't you have a guy for that?
Need to have a guy for that.
Called it an agent?
Yes. Russell Okung, ask him how that's working out. He thought he was cool when he got his contract in Bitcoin.
Oh, no.
Not as good now.
Oh, no.
Hopefully that thing's over.
Wow.
And one would think, you know, the contract, if it carries on to the season, that can't do anything but hurt Lamar's performance on the field because he's got two different, you know, he's got all these things on his mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's
but that's always the fear when it's a contract year. How is the player going to play? And that's always going to be
some rise up, and it's just like, oh my gosh,
right? Or that could, yeah, or they overdo it,
trying too hard to get paid.
Exactly.
I think these will be two guys that'll always be looked at and compared to each other because of their styles,
yeah,
and kind of their statures. They're not the big giant Cam or Josh Allen type players, but they have to use their legs to be effective. And so, how healthy can they stay? College football next. It's Getting on Sports right here in the Sports Animal.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients with their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery. It's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street, in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. It's a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Rodney Skinner at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City. Paul Jones Drug, it's care you can trust. Give them a call at 580-225-2121. What all do they have? Well, they're the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. As I mentioned, free delivery, drive-through pickup. You've got curbside testing and vaccinations, long-term unit care, blister packs. We'll tell you more about them as we move along. Throughout the show, our friends at Paul Jones Drug every Tuesday is a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday right here on the Skinny on Sports. All right, so we talked a little bit about the conference realignment and kind of some of the rumors that were out there of who might be going where, and you know, the Big 12's position in all of this seems pretty strong compared to what it was a year ago in the wake of Oklahoma and Texas announcing they were going to the SEC. More reports last night to back that up. Apparently the ESPN has offered the Pac-12 a deal for their entire package, which meaning Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 rights, everything they got, for $250 million a year. Now, one might think that sounds like a lot of money. That's $25 million a school. $25 million a school. And, oh, by the way, Oregon and Washington want to have an increased share. They want 16.5% apiece. The Cal and Stanford want 13.5% apiece. Everybody else gets 40. The last six are left at 40 apiece, which, if you do the math in your head, that's not very much. 6% apiece. So you're talking the likes of Arizona, Colorado, Utah, in that range, getting somewhere in the $16 million a year range.
That's called lowball.
Oh, that's more than lowball, I feel.
Is there anything lower than that?
The SEC's revenue distribution, $778 million. Three times. $55 million a school. And, oh, by the way, that's going up because that's with that CBS deal at $50 million a year, which turns into $300 million a year after next year when that contract is given to that was awarded to ESPN. So you can fire that one up in the billion-dollar range. You're probably thinking, oh, that's the SEC, you know, of course. And the big – don't even give me the Big Ten numbers. We know that they're way ahead of everybody, right? Let's see what the Big 12 got. $41 million.
We need Scott Garrison in here.
41. This is a great thing to talk about.
It's a great topic for him.
So right now the Pac-12 is projected to get $34.4 million a school in their current deal. And then whoosh, rug pulled right out from underneath them. That's how much value they lost in UCLA and USC, almost $10 million a year per school. Perceived value in the media rights discussion. So, I mean, yesterday there was a couple of different writers from around that were clearly, I mean, ringing the Pac-12 bell. Stuart Mandel was one of them, comparing the Big 12 to the Pac-12. It's no comparison. And then you look at the numbers of viewers. Okay, so let's think about this.
Okay.
Let's just compare those two. And we're just comparing the conference championship games because I saw that pop up in this discussion. So what's unique about the Pac-12's conference championship game?
It's on a Friday night.
All by itself.
Right.
No competition whatsoever for eyeballs on a Friday night of the Pac-12 championship
game. Well, they get competition from Paragon TV basketball. Okay. So
I'm talking about
why,
like,
I can't watch it.
I'm talking about as far as the college football world.
I got you.
They drew 4.2 million viewers.
Okay. Sounds big, but.
But. Big 12, the next day, dead up against the AAC, wasn't it? Aren't they both at 11 in the morning? Cincinnati playing at the same time as OSU and Baylor?
Yes.
I'm fairly certain they were. Big 12 drew 8 million viewers.
And this is last year's number.
Last year's number. Now, with OSU and Baylor.
No offense to OSU and Baylor, but imagine if it was OU and Texas playing for the Big 12.
Well, that's
title.
True. But here, the advantage that the Big 12 had versus the Pac-12 game, and this is an advantage that normally happens anyway, but it is an advantage. The Big 12 had potential playoff implications.
But true. True.
The Pac-12 didn't. And who's surprised at that?
Well, nobody.
That's the same thing that happens every year.
Yeah.
The AAC, the tiny little AAC that you know good and well those Pac-12 teams or schools thumb their nose at, up against the Big 12 game, drew 3.4. Just 800,000 less than the Pac-12 game drew all by itself on a Friday night. So I think when you look at those numbers, I mean, that's a very, very, very small sample size. Don't get me wrong. And you can make the same argument that you made for the Big 12 game about the Pac-12 game. What if it was USC and Oregon?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you can always make that those arguments. But I think the point is, and it's illustrated in both of those things, the TV people don't have faith in what the Pac-12 is left with and don't have faith in what the Pac-12 is left with's fervor for college football. And if I'm one of those schools, if I'm Arizona or I'm Colorado, maybe even Utah, if you think the Big 12 money isn't enough, wait till you see what your Mountain West contract's going to be.
Oh, boy, yeah.
If you don't think the Pac-12 money with y'all together, staying together is good enough, what about the West Coast Conference? Point is, it's time for some of those schools to have their own interest at heart and not anybody else's, just for pure financial sake. And I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see it because I don't think Arizona, Colorado, some of those, trust what Oregon and Washington are wanting to do even a little. For one, they're already trying to step up their earnings above yours because of unequal revenue, which, I mean, you can make the case that they're the ones drawing the eyeball, sure, but it's funny. We're all in this together, and we're in it for more than you. It never seems to work in these conference things, right?
Right.
It never does. So that I thought that was pretty interesting with what we talked about yesterday, just to kind of illustrate those points that we were going through. Man, I'll tell you what a difference a month makes on the recruiting trail. Oklahoma on fire on the recruiting trail. Got another commit from defensive back out on the West Coast yesterday. Hmm. They have gone from the mid-40s to start July all the way up on some services inside the top 10. ESPN's was just outside the top 10 with a couple of days to go, and it looks like they're not done for July, with a couple other guys announcing here toward the end of this last week of the month that could push them all the way up inside of the top 10 in everything. What an unbelievable turnaround for Brent Venables and their crew.
I think that I think we've said this. There were some panic buttons being pushed because there was a lull or a slowdown in recruiting where, and then someone pointed out that Venables is, first off, we got to understand every coach recruits different. He's not the guy who went to USC. We're still learning about this guy. This is his first head coaching gig. Now we know how he recruited as a defensive coordinator and all that, but I think he's more of a quality guy and not a quantity guy. I think he has a way about him, and we know this, of looking for a certain character kid, a type of kid, and that doesn't necessarily mean 4 or 5 star, but in this case, he's getting some of those guys, and I think he's been very patient on the recruiting trail, and I think it's paying off. Now, we'll see if it pays off. It's paying off right now in the rankings that you're talking about, but we'll see if it pays off on the field and the longevity of the program as far as keeping them on campus, because that's the next. You're not just recruiting them and getting them to sign the letter and then that's it. You got to continue to recruit them to stay now. So I think that's a big thing he's looking for as a kid that he thinks, I don't have to work too hard to commit to stay here. He's all in, which has kind of been his motto in recruiting is, all in kind of mentality. So if you can get a kid that says, yeah, I'm all in, I'm pushing my chips to the middle of the table, let's go, that's the kid he's looking for. And so patience is a virtue, and he's a veteran guy despite him being the first time as a head coach. I think it's paying off for him.
Yeah, it's interesting philosophy because he's doing it different than almost anybody.
Mm-hmm. And you have to. It's a changing world in college. It's constantly changing. So he has to do something different, approach it different, approach these kids differently.
Definitely is. I mean, to the point of if you're committed, you're not taking visits because commitment means something.
Right.
And if you're not going to – if you want to commit but you're going to still want to take visits, don't commit. Go find out. And so he's almost, he's given these guys all kinds of leeway that a lot of places don't. And I think to your point, I think you're not going to see the quick starts that we saw with the previous regime with Lincoln Riley, getting a bunch of guys early and then having to hold on for dear life. I don't think you're going to see that. I think it's going to take longer for these classes to come together. But one would hope, if you're looking through the crimson-colored sunglasses, that longer time means they're more committed because they've taken and thought about it longer and taken visits and feel like, okay, I've seen what I wanted to see. I'm here for good.
Yeah.
That would be that's the idea of what he's doing. Now we'll see if that holds true or if it's still going to be one of those things that you're holding your breath all the way until that December signing day, wondering who's in, who's out. But at least right now, in the month of July, holy cow, Oklahoma has been red hot on the recruiting trail. ESPN also, an interesting article about schedules. I know that it'll be easy to find once I get the Bible of college football in my hands and ordered. Phil Steele, it's out, just came out. One of my buddies has one being shipped right now. It turns out that that thing has gone up. Inflation's hit Phil Steele as well.
Well, just the way it goes. It's how it happened.
And so he's always got the different schedule rankings and all that, but without that in our hands, which we'll have it shortly, Jared, don't worry.
I'm counting on
it. Don't worry.
That and the high school preview.
Yeah, no, we got to get Mark on that.
We got to get on Mark on that one.
Toughest overall Power 5 schedule. It says a handful of strong cases can be made. Auburn, Georgia Tech, Indiana, LSU, Mississippi State, Stanford, Vanderbilt. All with tough schedules. But for the second straight season, the hardest schedule in the country is the Arkansas Razorbacks. 5 games against top 25 teams. One of only 5 Power 5 teams with 2 non-conference games against ranked opponents. That is Cincinnati and BYU. Cincinnati at home, BYU on the road. And they also get number 5 Texas A&M. Number 1, that's in Arlington. Number 1 Alabama, that's at home. And Mississippi State on the road. And a trip to Auburn. It's 4 out of 5 away from home against some ranked teams. That's that's a reality that's coming Oklahoma and Texas's way, especially right now in the western part of the SEC. Everybody has a tough schedule just because there's so many good teams in that side of the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Arizona, even with that schedule they had last year, they looked real good, right? Everyone's kind of looking at them as taking that next step.
Yeah, I saw some people having them as the second, having Alabama first, Arkansas second.
Yeah.
In the West. If they can do that against a schedule like this, that's pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, they deserve it. I give pause to it, though. I think if we, we're going to look, we'll get closer. Here we are almost a month away. We'll get closer and we'll start talking about our surprise teams, our letdown teams, our favorites and all that. But a little peek behind the curtain, Arkansas for me is one of those, I think, will take a step back teams. And unfortunately, it might be because of the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, they did what they did last year against the hardest schedule as well.
Right. They took some lumps, but it's like when they went up against, like, the Georgia game keeps popping to mind.
Well, they just got killed.
They got smacked. Well, and then we saw what Georgia turned out to be. But, I mean, at BYU is never easy. Cincinnati, are they going to be still up there as one of the best smaller schools? I don't know. And then A&M at the neutral site. I mean, the list goes on and on, but they could still, it kind of be like last year. They could still be a good team, but run into some lumps on their schedule.
9-4 a year ago, really only outclassed twice. Twice. At Georgia, 37-0, and that game was over in 2 minutes.
Yes, it was.
Lost to Ole Miss on the road by a point in a fun shootout, 52-51. Couple of touchdown loss at home to Auburn, and then went to Bama. You remember that game? That's when Traylon Burks went nuts. And they lost by a touchdown, 42-35. That was a close game. They had, they had chances to win that one there at Alabama toward the end of the season. Yeah, I mean, 9-4, that's if you just look at when they played the teams. Now, some of these didn't turn out to be this highly ranked, Texas being right off the bat, but, they rolled up Texas in Fayetteville last year when the Horns were 15th in the country. They won that neutral site game against A&M a year ago when A&M was number 7 coming off. Were they coming off that win against Alabama, or maybe it was the week before? And I said they got smashed by Georgia, but right there with Ole Miss, who ended up being a top 15-ish team. And then Bama played for the national title, and they were right there in the game with them. Yeah, I can see what you mean, though. How much did they lose? How much can KJ Jefferson get better? And he's a guy that looks like he has all the promise in the world. Mm-hmm. Just a matter of putting it together. So that's the hardest schedule. Let me get back here to the easiest. Here we go. Any ideas?
Oh, no.
If you had to pick a conference, where would you pick?
I would go with the ACC.
Got it.
And I would, without knowing, I would say someone maybe like a Miami or a Clemson. Who do you got?
Virginia.
Virginia, okay.
Virginia just plays. Let's see, only 2 preseason top 25 teams. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 1. Pittsburgh, which Pittsburgh to me is a team that is a candidate to drop off a little bit without Kenny Pickett. Mm-hmm. They avoid both Clemson and North Carolina State on their conference schedule. Just 1 road game at Illinois on their non-conference schedule. And then they also have Louisville, Miami, and North Carolina coming to Charlottesville. Let's see.
And what do you think that'll result for them?
Oh, I have no idea. Tony Elliott, the new head coach, coming from Clemson as the offensive coordinator down there. Maybe they're fun. Maybe not. I mean, doesn't Virginia feel like one of those teams that's just kind of, you know, they play football, but you don't ever know when they're playing football? You know what I'm saying?
Like unless they're playing a Clemson or a Florida State or a Miami, you don't.
Yeah,
really,
I know, and
you're not really following the Cavaliers.
Well, in recent years, if they are playing Clemson, you're expecting them just to get smoked,
right?
And then nobody cares when Miami and Florida State play right now,
right?
Because of how down they've been. Like it's almost like Miami and Florida State down has taken a little bit of the shine off Virginia. That makes sense in certain ways. Easiest Power 5 non-conference schedule.
Virginia?
Michigan.
Oh, Michigan. They avoid App State. Who they got?
Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn.
Oh, yeah. Only team that might score against them is Colorado State.
Jay Norvell's head coach out there.
He's up in Fort Collins. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Beautiful school, beautiful town for a school, by the way. Been there a couple times. And they got a brand new stadium that's like 2 years old.
Ole Miss didn't load up on a whole bunch of good ones either. Troy, Central Arkansas, Tulsa, Georgia Tech.
Way to challenge yourself there, Kiffin. But I could also see the mentality of that. You're in the SEC. You got enough to deal with.
How about UCLA? They open with Bowling Green, Alabama State, and South Alabama. That's pretty poor.
That is very poor. When you turn around and play Oregon State, Colorado.
Here's an interesting one. Texas.
Well, we know Alabama. We know. Go on. I can't remember.
Oh, non-conference UTSA is one of them.
Okay, yeah.
They don't leave the state of Texas until October 22nd.
So they're taking the Alabama approach.
They don't leave because Alabama's coming there this year. Obviously, the Red River game is in Dallas. So their first not their first road game, obviously. They may have one in state. But their first trip, they go to Lubbock on the 24th of September. But their first trip outside of the state of Texas will be right here in Oklahoma.
To Stillwater.
On October the 22nd. Yeah, wasn't it Georgia? Make fun of Alabama, but wasn't it Georgia?
It was Georgia. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. They didn't play a non-conference game outside of the state of Georgia for 40 years or something. Crazy like that.
Right.
Because even when they did play one of those games, it was in the Georgia Dome or the Mercedes-Benz Stadium against whoever to start the season.
Right. Yeah, they play a neutral site in Atlanta.
Right.
Yeah.
Smart thinking, Georgia. Are you looking forward to any game more than Jimbo versus Saban on October the 8th? Or is that overblown?
They kind of pushed that down during the SEC media days. But no, that's going to be the hardest hitting game of the year.
I think it's going to anyway because A&M beat them last year.
Yeah. But the players, I mean, they're already kind of chirping about it. Like, we're going to remember this game, and then they're going back and forth on the social medias. Yeah, I mean, outside of your favorite team and their rival, sure. Like, obviously, that same day of OU Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, that day's going to be a lot of fun. Clear your schedule.
I know you've
turn off your phone and get multiple TVs ready.
I know you've mentioned this one in the past, but another one that's kind of under the radar that's going to be awesome is the Backyard Brawl coming back. West Virginia
and
Pitt.
Yeah.
That's a fun one.
That used to be nasty.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, we'll wrap it up when we get back on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Whoa, wrapping up a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Thank you to Rodney Skinner and the gang at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main here in Elk City. Hey, convenience packaging. Do you know what we talked about this?
Yeah.
I know you know what it is, but listener, do you? Instead of having the big old plastic pill container that got like the days etched onto the side, and you had to remember to fill it, and you had to remember to fill it with the right amount of pills and all that, and then remember where you put it and remember where to take, you know, to take the medicine. No. Paul Jones Drug individually packages your daily meds for you. So all you do is go to the cabinet and rip open the package, take the meds, and boom, you're done. No remembering other than just finding them in your medicine cabinet. They've also got durable medical equipment. But even outside of all that, all the fine medical stuff, they've also got great gifts and greeting cards as well that you can go down there. I know Jared needs a birthday card today. It's his birthday. So somebody go to Paul Jones Drug, perfect place to get Jared a birthday card for the day. How old are you, Jared?
I'm still in my 30s. That's all I'll say.
So, off the air, Jared was telling me that this show next year on July 26th, let's hope it's during the week.
Well, it should be a Wednesday, shouldn't it? Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, I think so. That'll be a big day.
Mm. Yeah.
I noticed some of your pictures on Facebook, I think your wife put on there for your anniversary yesterday.
Yeah. I think that was strategically planned by my wife so I wouldn't forget when the anniversary is.
Yeah.
Always know it's the day before your birthday.
Couple of different looking people there. And I'm going to say both have improved over the years.
Yeah.
I'm going to say both people have improved.
At least one of us have, believe it or not, gained some weight and some gray hair. That would be me.
I was going to say, that's not very nice to say.
I said one of us. That would be me. Yeah. No, it's a blessing to be with the same woman for, well, be with her 15 years, married 13, and here we are in my 30s. One last go.
So it's like, so is this
Don't
your
be
like?
Be surprised if you hear me rolling up in a motorcycle tomorrow, and
all of a sudden you paint your scalp black.
No, it's fun.
Are we gonna have to have a film crew walk around with you, and this year will be like, you know, the last dance.
Oh boy. Here, let's talk about being old. It was Friday night, early Saturday morning. At Saturday morning, 1 a.m. I wake up with one of the all-time worst cramps in the back of my calf I've ever had. You know the little ones hurt more than those big ones, right? Because it's more centralized. It was right there, right in the middle. Got over it, no big deal. A couple hours later, I have to get up to go use the restroom, like most old guys have to do, about four or five times a night. And I go to stand up on that leg, and I couldn't stand on it. It was hurting that, and it hurt for the rest of the day. And it just kept ringing in my head, this is being old. This is what it feels like. Most people are yelling, just eat a banana.
Drink some pickle juice. You know, I've
heard magnesium supplement.
There's my wife maybe not the wife. Maybe it was Santa. I can't remember for sure. In my stocking. Was it in my stocking? I believe it was. There's this spray. And I'm telling you, it's magic. It's kind of, you know.
Is it like an icy hot spray, or is it?
It doesn't feel like that. But you can, when you get a cramp, or when I can get, when I get a cramp, I just spray that and kind of rub it in.
And it goes away?
And it goes away.
Wow. It's, not yet.
It's like that spray that the soccer dudes use.
Yeah.
Looks okay. Like they got murdered, and all of a sudden they spray that cold stuff on them, and they're running around fine.
Well, the worst was the cramp sets in, and my leg's straight in the air, and I'm just gripping the pillow, and I just, wife turns over. What's wrong? I got a cramp. Oh, okay. She turns back over and goes to sleep. I'm like, get up here and help me. No.
How about a little rubbing of the calf,
how about
huh?
A little help here? What do you got to wake up for tomorrow? It's Saturday. Help me out.
Sam said, I hope I never get as old as Jared is acting. Now, you know, the one thing about when you get those cramps in the middle of the night, when you wake up, it's like your legs have been beaten with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
They're so sore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know I get told all the time by my wife, when this happens, quit moaning. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Because I'm just like walking around going, and it normally accompanies a little bit of a later night, not paying attention. Like let's say, for instance, playing in a golf tournament,
yeah,
not paying attention to the heat and
yeah.
therefore choosing to hydrate the wrong way, that doesn't stay with you.
Yeah.
That's normally when this happens
to me. That's crazy. You know, it's Friday, and you would have thought, you know, we went out to eat, and I drove, so you know what that meant. I was very light on the consumption Friday night. But I think it was because it was so hot.
Yeah.
So hot.
Like the Sunday after our golf tournament, when I sat out there all day long in the heat, didn't drink near enough water.
Yeah.
I woke up at different stages of the night with different parts of my legs cramping up.
Man. And you know what I've been drinking a lot of lately?
What?
Ever since softball season's ended and I just continue to drink it, is Gatorade.
Huh.
Like I'm buying Gatorade on a regular.
Do you buy regular Gatorade, or do you go the sugar-free zero?
No, lemon lime.
Regular Gatorade.
Old school,
okay.
Man. Lemon lime Gatorade.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure somebody can chime in with, you know, the difference between, say, a regular pop and a diet pop, which is essentially what this is on the Gatorade level. And by the way, if you don't realize how much sugar's in Gatorade, don't look at that label.
Oh, well, thanks for that.
Don't do it.
I just looking for the electrolytes. Just,
that's all you're looking for. Don't worry about the massive amounts of sugar.
I've heard that advice given. Yeah, they say drink water, 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 but it's you know, you might want those electrolytes. Slip
that's
in
right.
a Gatorade.
Correct. Supposedly the cucumber one's good. Have you tried it?
No.
I've seen it, but I haven't tried it. It's probably nice and refreshing on a hot day.
Keep the cucumbers in my salad.
Cucumber and lime, maybe. Anyway.
Anyway.
The Gatorade Zero versus the regular Gatorade, it's hard to imagine a bigger difference in taste.
Is there, you're saying there is a difference?
Oh, my gosh.
In a good way or bad way?
Well, it's a good way to keep on drinking regular Gatorade.
Yeah, well, my kid notices it.
Really?
We tried to slip in the Gatorade Zero.
Yeah.
And she'll look at the label and just put it down and goes, no.
Tried it, didn't like it.
She's not a fan.
I'm not either. I'm right there with her. All right, everybody have a great Tuesday. Thank you to Rodney Skinner and Paul Jones Drug. Tuesdays with Paul Jones. We'll be back tomorrow. Who knows what we'll talk about? I didn't see Gatorade and Old Man Talk coming today. Everybody have a great Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Wow.